This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM, Birmingham. I'm Andrew Yeager. The Klansman who bombed Birmingham's 16th Street Baptist Church in 1963, killing four black girls, did not face justice for years. In 1977, then-Alabama Attorney General Bill Baxley won a conviction against Robert Chambliss for his role in the attack. It wasn't until the early 2000s that two others were tried and convicted. Senator Doug Jones led those later prosecutions and writes about it in his memoir, Bending Toward Justice. Jones told me about how he cut class as a law student to watch the Chambliss trial, and it left a big impression.
First of all, I was an aspiring lawyer. I wanted to be a trial lawyer, and I had had some advice from a former Supreme Court justice, William O. Douglas, when I got a chance to spend some time with him, that I should watch a trial. So as a lawyer, or a lawyer wannabe at the time, it was an amazing experience to see very, very good lawyers, Baxley and his team, as well as Art Haynes and his dad, who defended Chambliss. So it was a learning experience. But to understand and see how deeply the bombing had affected people and how that conviction of Chambliss was such an amazing thing to happen in 1977, you understand, I think, how deeply people feel about the need for justice and some type of not just pure, not just redemption, but I think a sense of justice and a sense of healing that brought to the community, even though people knew that there were still others that were not being prosecuted.
Well, there were two trials, one for Bobby Frank Cherry and one for Thomas Blanton. And you described how much of the evidence was circumstantial, and while you were convinced of their guilt, meeting that legal threshold was a different matter. Were you surprised at either of the guilty verdicts?
At the end of the day, we weren't surprised, and I think I hopefully wrote about that correctly and adequately conveyed that. What we were concerned about going into the Blanton case was more than not an acquittal. We believed that we certainly had enough evidence to convict them. But you never know when you're selecting a jury, and we did a lot of work around the Jefferson County area to try to do some focus groups and community surveys about getting a jury that we believe fair. We believed if we had a fair-minded jury, that they would look at the evidence and it would be proven beyond a reasonable doubt that he was guilty. We were concerned about a hung jury, one or two holdouts that might not believe there was enough evidence, or for whatever reason we missed their prejudice, that they would come in. And so that was the biggest fear. And once we got the Blanton case under our belt, and of course we had all of the Cherry issues with his feigned dementia that we had to deal with for a year, we felt very good going into the Cherry case because of so many of his admissions that we had.
Well, you visited Tommy Blanton twice in prison. Why'd you do that?
Well, you know, Andrew, I've always believed that one of the things that was missing in our cases was a sense of reconciliation for the community. We got a measure of redemption, but not true reconciliation. And I believed at the time, even when we were investigating these cases, when I brought Blanton in and then I went to Texas to try to talk to Cherry, that a measure of reconciliation and acceptance of responsibility would also go a long way in the community. And I talked to both of them about that. Neither one of them gave me the time of day virtually at the time. But Cherry died in prison, and I thought, well, just maybe this last chance with Blanton, who is getting older, who's not in great health, who's likely to die in prison if he doesn't do something to accept some responsibility. I just thought it was worth a shot. I really believe that some acceptance of that responsibility and telling the story, and Tommy Blanton is the last hope for that, but apparently he will go to his grave with all the secrets.
Is it enough if you don't get that side of the story, if you don't get that apology?
It's enough, I think. We got a tremendous amount of healing with the convictions. There is no question about that, and I think it's enough. But you just want to do more. I think if you look back in South Africa and other places where they've had truth and reconciliation commissions, I think it can really help go beyond just the community and the families to a much broader segment if you can get that.
Well, you have announced plans to run for re-election in 2020. It's no secret that Republicans believe your seat will be an easy pickup, particularly after a midterm election that saw Democrats perform pretty dismally statewide. How do you see a path to victory?
Well, I see a path to victory the same way we did in 2017, and that is focusing on the issues that we have in common, focusing on issues that people talk about every day with their families, and not the issues that divide us. You're already seeing this divisive rhetoric coming from the other side, and that's just typical. I think people are tired of that.
That's U.S. Senator Doug Jones speaking about his new memoir, Bending Toward Justice. He speaks about the book Saturday evening at the Lyric Theater.